So Srila Prabhupada gave us this wonderful song, Jai Radha Madhav, and instructed the devotees that before we discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam, any of this philosophy, that we sing this song. Once I was in Vrindavan and I was just about to leave Vrindavan, and then I met one of the sadhus there, and he said, "What are you doing?" So I said, "I'm going back to London tomorrow." So he said, "Why? You're in Vrindavan. Why would you leave Vrindavan?" So I said, "No, I have service there. I have so many different things." He said, "All reality outside of Vrindavan is a dream. And all dreams in Vrindavan are reality." So Kandi Prabhu was mentioning yesterday that this is, one sense, a dreamlike world. Of course, it still has purpose and meaning. But we should remember that we are just here for some time. It's a transit lounge. And when we sing this song, Jai Radha Madhav, then what it helps us to do is remember that ultimately our goal is to go back to Vrindavan, back to Goloka, back to Krishna, back to Godhead, as Prabhupada said. Vaikuntha, the place where there is no anxiety. So when we sing this song, we remember that this is our goal, and we're just in the transit lounge at the moment. So we continue along the Srimad Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Just to let you know, what we're discussing in these 3 days is the entirety of this book. So as you can see, we've gone very, very quickly. But what I wanted to first say before beginning today's class is that when we have these seminars and we have these overviews, they're not a replacement for actually reading the book yourself. One time a disciple came to his guru and said, "I've heard that you obtained many jewels from the scriptures, so can you give those jewels to me?" So the guru looked at him and said, "No, I can't." He said, "Why?" The guru said, "If I give you the jewels for free, you won't appreciate them. And if I sell the jewels to you, they'll be too expensive for you to buy. What you have to do is you have to go into the scripture yourself, and you have to give your time, your energy, your absorption and meditation, and in your own way, find your jewels on those scriptures." So Srila Prabhupada left us so many books. He said, "The best of me is in my books." So when we hear classes and when we go to seminars like this, that's very nice, but there are no way a replacement for actually reading the books and finding the jewels yourself. So we're continuing on with the journey of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I'll just quickly go to the beginning of the journey. We won't go over this again. So our journey was the journey that we're following Narad Muni on. Narad Muni is going through the three worlds trying to find out who is that person who got the greatest mercy from Krishna. Who is the greatest devotee, the greatest recipient of Krishna Kripa? So he begins his journey in Kumbh Mela, and he meets the Brahmana there, and he sees the Brahmana worshipping very devotionally, and he says, "You definitely got the mercy." But the Brahmana says, "I didn't get the mercy. I'm just doing this once a day, once a year. There's someone who does this every single day." So he told Narad Muni to go to the southern king, who practices his devotional service in a very regulated way every single day. We talked about the everyday principle. Krishna consciousness is easy, but what makes it difficult is the everyday principle. They say the day you don't want to is the day you really should. Because when we wake up, some days we don't feel so inspired. But that's what sadhana means. To do it even on the days you don't want to do it, and thereby show one's commitment to Krishna. So Narad Muni went to the southern king, and the southern king says, no, it wasn't me who got the most mercy. There's someone who has far more opulence, far more power, far more influence than me. And that personality uses all of that in Krishna's service. So who is that personality?
Indra.
So Narad Muni went to see Indra in Amaravati. And there Indra, in all his opulence, was seen worshipping his younger brother Vamandev. And there offering the best of what he had to Krishna. So in the same way we should offer the best of what we have for Krishna. We're all individuals. Yesterday you saw how much of an individual Gurudas is. We are only 13 days apart in terms of our age.
17
now. I remember that. But we're very individual. Sometimes in my life I tried to be like him and I just couldn't. And he says sometimes he tries to be like me, although I don't think so. So we're all individual and Krishna has given us all our own abilities, our own opulences, our own... He's blessed us in different ways, so we must use that for Krishna. So when Narad Muni went to Indra, Indra said, no, I didn't get the mercy. There's someone who got more mercy than me, because there's someone who has a greater power and influence than even me. And this person renders one of the most amazing services to Krishna. He creates the entire material manifestation. So he said to Narad Muni, you should go to Brahma. Because Brahma knows the secret to mercy. He's taken so much responsibility for the service of Krishna. So with responsibility comes anxiety, comes difficulty, comes stress. But Brahma takes all of that on to render this amazing service to Krishna of creating the entire material manifestation as a means for all of us to try to go back to Godhead. So Narad Muni went all the way up to Satya Loka, up to Brahma Loka, and he met Brahma and said, Brahma, I've been going from person to person and I'm convinced now. You're the one here, I'm looking at you, worshipping the Mahapurush. And the responsibility you take for Krishna's service, you must have got the most mercy. Brahma says, no. If you want to know who got the most mercy, you have to go beyond the material worlds. You have to go to a higher realm. Because there you'll find someone who definitely got the most mercy. And it's not just me that says this, it's Shastra which says this. Because this person is Vaishnavanam Yatha Sambhu. So if you want to find out who got the most mercy, then you have to go to Shiva Loka. Because Shiva was the one who got the most mercy. And I'll tell you, Brahma said to Narad, one of the reasons that Shiva got so much mercy from Krishna, because he gives mercy to others. Shiva is known as Asutosh, one who is very easily pleased. So even the ghosts, the hobgoblins, the demons, even they go to Shiva and Shiva gives them mercy. Shiva is so merciful that he creates or he oversees an entire sampradaya to give knowledge. Shiva was so merciful that he drank the poison from the milk ocean in order to save all the living entities in the universe. So one who gives mercy to others, Krishna's mercy follows very, very quickly. So don't underestimate the power of small acts of kindness to give people Krishna. It's very, very powerful. I'll tell you a true story actually. Once there was one of these factories, there was a frozen foods factory. So in the morning, all the employees, hundreds of employees would come, they would work all day, and then in the evening, those hundreds of employees would leave. This is a true story. So one day what happened is, as all the employees were leaving, one of the employees somehow or other went into the freezer, the huge freezer. And somehow or other the door locked, and the door somehow, the locks snapped. So the person was locked in this freezer and couldn't get out. All the employees had left. This is a problem. So locked in the freezer, all the employees had left. Here, this person thought, this is my fate. Freeze to death. And then what happened is, as the person was shouting, it was a, you know, it was a freezer. It was completely secured, so no one could hear outside. They thought, this is useless. And then, just out of the blue, the security guard came, and with a one of these, whatever, like some kind of apparatus, opened up the door. So this person said, how in the world did you come here? How did you know I was here? How did you come to save me? No one could hear me. And this person said, out of all the employees that used to leave every single day, you were the only one who, when we left, when all the employees left, you were the only one who said, goodbye, good evening, I hope you have a, you know, good rest and we'll see you tomorrow. You were the only one who said that out of the 100 employees, so I always remembered you. And when everyone went in the evening but you didn't come, then I knew something must be wrong. So I came in to look for you. Don't underestimate the power of even a small act. It doesn't go unnoticed by Krishna. Especially an act to bring someone else closer to Krishna. So Shiva gives mercy to others and therefore he gets great mercy himself. So Narad Muni was convinced. He began glorifying Shiva, but here you can see in the picture, Shiva was not ready to hear any of that. Shiva said, no, no, I am not a great devotee. I am in touch with the mode of ignorance. I am not a great devotee. I also gave benedictions to people who misused benedictions. And then Shiva gave a benediction to Vikasura, that whoever's head you will touch will break to 1,000 pieces. And then Vikasura tried to touch Shiva's head himself. So Shiva said, I'm not so wise. I give mercy to the wrong people. And Shiva said, you know what? I'm not the one who got the most mercy because I did something very bad in the world as well. I came as Shankaracharya and I taught Mayavada. Mayavadam asat chastram prachanam bodhamuchyate. I came in the Kali Yuga as a Brahmana and I taught Mayavada. So how can you say I got the most mercy? I'm a Mayavadi. Prabhupada said Vaishnavas have three sports: wrestling, swimming, and defeating Mayavadis. Vaishnava sports. So Shiva said, no, no, I didn't get the mercy. Someone got more mercy than me. This person got so much mercy that they're described in the Shastra as Bhakta Shiromani, the crest jewel of all Vaishnavas. And who is that?
Prahlad.
He said, Prahlad learned the art of how to fully depend upon and rely on Krishna. So we talked about this, how Prahlad was somehow or other completely reliant upon Krishna. He saw Krishna everywhere. Hiranyakashipu couldn't see Krishna anywhere. And Prahlad was the polar opposite. He could see Krishna everywhere. He was not in fear at any situation he was put in because he was always seeing Krishna everywhere. Here you see Prahlad was put in a pit of snakes. They said to Prahlad, weren't you scared when you were put in a pit of snakes? Prahlad said, my father is Vishnu. Vishnu lies upon Anantashesh. And all the snakes are servants of Anantashesh. So when I saw all these snakes, all I saw was that these are the servants of the servant of my father. So are the servants of the servant of my father going to harm me? They said, Prahlad, when you were given poison, weren't you scared? Prahlad said, my father is Vishnu. Vishnu's consort is Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi came out of the milk ocean when it was churned. And along with Lakshmi Devi came poison. So that means Lakshmi Devi and poison are brother and sister. So when I saw the poison, I simply saw, here is my mother's brother. It's going to harm me?
No.
When you were put in fire, Prahlad, weren't you scared? Yajna Vaya Vishnu. The fire is the mouth of Vishnu. So if you put me in the mouth of my father, will he eat me? So in this way, Prahlad had so much deep meditation on Krishna that he was seeing Krishna everywhere, completely reliant upon Krishna, depending on Krishna. Somehow or other, we so much try to control life that we never experience that reliance upon Krishna and Krishna saving us. Just some time ago, I was in a plane. And you know, planes, sometimes there's turbulence. So isn't it when the plane just goes down, then what's the gut, like the gut reaction when the plane goes down is everyone holds onto their seat. And you think that's completely irrational. What's the point of holding onto your seat? If the plane's going to go down, whether you put your hand on the seat or not, it's going down and you're going down. But still, there's something within us whereby there's a gut reaction to try to control. So the acharyas teach us that not that we shouldn't try, not that we shouldn't endeavor, not that we shouldn't use our intelligence to try and do things properly, but after all is said and done, we have to just rely on Krishna and accept Krishna's plan. So said Prahlad was just reliant upon Krishna. So Narad Muni went to Sutala Loka and he tried to find out Prahlad Maharaj, who indeed was there. Prahlad Maharaj was in great consciousness and Narad Muni began to glorify him, and Prahlad said, "No, no, I wasn't the one who got the most mercy because I engaged the Lord in my service. But there's someone who does something more. He engages himself completely, mind, body, heart, words, entire consciousness in the Lord's service. And who is that?" So Narad Muni went to Kimpurisha Loka and he met Hanuman. And there he saw Hanuman worshipping Ram, singing Ram bhajans, and in this way completely absorbed. And Hanuman said, "No, no, it wasn't me who got the most mercy." Hanuman said, "When Ram came and Ram requested our help, then we went to Sri Lanka, Lanka. We went to find out Sita Devi. We came back, we reported back to Ram. And then we went all together, building a bridge to conquer Ravan and reclaim Sita. But after we did that, then Ram went his way and I went my way. But there is some devotees who constantly were having contact with the Lord. I only had some time with Ram. But there are devotees who got more mercy because they were with their Lord much longer than I was. These devotees are greater devotees than me. Because the Lord was so conquered by their devotion that the Lord decided to become their messenger. The Lord decided to become their chariot driver. The Lord took all kinds of menial services to help them in difficult situations. The Lord, even when they did a sacrifice, agreed to take the position of washing everyone's feet. If you want to know who got the most mercy from Krishna, then you have to go and see these devotees. Because these devotees don't just worship Krishna because he's the Supreme Lord. These devotees have an intimate friendship with Krishna. These devotees have gone beyond simple awe and reverence. They have a much more heart-to-heart relationship with Krishna. And who are those devotees?
Pandavas.
Pandavas. So therefore, Narad Muni then went to Hastinapur and he went to meet the Pandavas. So the Pandavas here you can see sitting with Krishna, talking, joking, laughing, had a very wonderful, close, intimate relationship with Krishna. And now what I want to say is that we have gone on this journey of Brihat Bhagavatamrita and we're drawing our principles from every devotee about how we can get mercy. Now we're going to these very high-level devotees, we may not be able to imitate what they do. Many of these secrets of mercy that they're teaching us, we'll have to to come spontaneously. But still, it's good for us to know what is the thing within them that
attracted Krishna and attracted Krishna's attention. So these things we're discussing now should not be imitated, but it's an inspiration for us to understand how one has a closer relationship with Krishna. So from the Pandavas, we learn that their secret to mercy was that they were relating to Krishna free from simple awe and reverence. Most people simply worship God because He's the controller. He's in the supreme dominion of everything. Because God, from Him comes everything. They see God as very, very high and themselves as very, very small, and therefore naturally subordinate them in front of God. Subordinate themselves in front of God. But the more confidential devotees of the Lord, who the Lord has a closer relationship with, have this freedom from reverence. They don't simply worship Krishna because Krishna is God. They worship Krishna because Krishna is wonderful. We have this word, Bhagavan. So Bhagavan means the Supreme Lord who has all opulences, isn't it? Bhaga means opulence, Van means possessor. So Bhagavan means one who possesses all opulence. But Jiva Goswami gives another definition of Bhagavan. Bhagavan. Bhajaniya Guna Vasista. Jiva Goswami says Bhagavan is that person, Bhajana Guna Vasista. Bhagavan is that person who has such amazing, enchanting, irresistible, mind-boggling qualities that one cannot resist but worship Him. In other words, the more confidential devotees are so encaptured, enchanted by Krishna's personality, that's what attracts them to give their heart and soul to Krishna. They're not simply worshipping Krishna because He's the Lord, they're worshipping Krishna because He's wonderful. Like one time they came to Srila Prabhupada and they said, one reporter said, Swamiji, in the morning you chant Krishna's names. Later on, then you serve Krishna. Then before you eat, you pray to Krishna. Then you go out and you talk to people about Krishna. Then you come back and you write books about Krishna. And then in the evening you chant Krishna's names again. And then you discuss with your disciples about Krishna's service. But what if at the end of life there's no Krishna? And Prabhupada said, I would do it all over again anyway. Because Krishna is wonderful. And when Krishna is in our life, life becomes fully joyful, fully happy, full of adventures and full of so much happiness. So Srila Prabhupada said, I would do it anyway. Because Krishna plus anything makes everything wonderful. Krishna plus food equals Krishna plus sleep equals rest. Devotees don't sleep, they rest. Krishna plus singing equals Krishna plus holiday equals Bucklands. And Prabhupada said, Krishna plus anywhere equals Vrindavan. So Krishna, His qualities are amazing. I'll tell you an interesting story. I was traveling in Nigeria a couple of years ago. So I was going through one city in Nigeria called Benin. So then there was a market. So it's like an Indian market, similar, very busy, many, many people. So I went past one store. And there on the stall, I saw someone was selling many, many things. And then in the corner of his stall, I saw a bunch of DVDs. And I looked closer. It was a picture of Krishna. And I looked a little closer, and it was Little Krishna DVDs. You know, the cartoon, Little Krishna. I was thinking, wow, selling Little Krishna in this market in Nigeria. So then I thought, maybe this is a devotee. Just doing a little bit of preaching alongside his business. So then there was a man behind the store, so I said, "Oh, Hari Bol." So he looked at me like, "Hari, what?" So obviously he wasn't a devotee in that sense. So then I realized, oh my God, he's not. So I asked him, "What are these DVDs?" He said, "These DVDs, they're all about Krishna." I said, "Wow, that's it." So I said, what does Krishna do? They said, "These are amazing. Krishna, he's this young boy, this young blue boy. And what he does is he has all these adventures. He goes and he runs around, and then he catches bulls and he throws them into the trees, and then he goes high in the sky and pulls these demons down, and then he sucks the life out of this other demoness." He's giving me full 10th canto of Krishna Katha. And I'm like, wow. And then I said to him, "But who is Krishna? Who is he?" And then he just looks at me and he says, "I don't know who Krishna is, but he's a bad man." Which was nice, because somehow or other he had just watched Krishna on YouTube. And he thought, "This is amazing, people will love this." So he thought, "Okay, I'll make a bit of money from it as well." So he downloaded all the videos, put them onto DVD, and then just started selling them. He didn't know the tattva of Krishna, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the Sarva Karana Karanam, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He didn't know all of that, but he was enchanted by Krishna's qualities. So at one point in our life, we also have to become enchanted by Krishna's qualities. And that's why Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna book, Krishna's pastimes, so that we could learn about Krishna, learn about all his amazing qualities. And when we chant Krishna's name, from Nama comes Guna, a realization of all of Krishna's amazing qualities. And from Guna comes Leela, comes Rupa, Krishna's form, an attraction towards that form. And from Rupa comes all the Leela, all the pastimes of Krishna will become manifest within us and will become attracted. So Nama, Guna, Rupa, Leela, eventually these things have to enchant and capture our minds. So the Pandavas, Hanuman said, show us this, that they had a great friendship and closeness to Krishna. So when Narada Muni went to Hastinapur and he saw the Pandavas, he glorified them for their close relationship with Krishna, and they said, no, there's someone that got even more mercy than us. You see, the Lord came and saw us for some time, but then after some time he left. And then he came back and then he left. But there was one group of individuals that Krishna grew up with. We are not directly Krishna's family, but these people are Krishna's own, very own family. And those people are the Yadavas. So the Pandavas said, the Yadavas got more mercy than us, because they were living with Krishna constantly. Their secret was that they were always living with Krishna. So when one becomes very advanced in consciousness, then they're always living with Krishna. Vrindavan consciousness. Jiva Goswami says Vrindavan is not just a physical place, it's a state of consciousness. So when Srila Prabhupada came to America, he was living in the Bowery. This was considered like the lowest of the low, the place of drug addicts, all kinds of criminals, all kinds of people who had dropped out of society. Srila Prabhupada said, when I had to walk through the Bowery to get to my room, I had to sometimes walk over people who had passed out in the corridor. Srila Prabhupada said, one time I came and there was even an expired person on the floor. This is the kind of place Srila Prabhupada was living in. But Srila Prabhupada said, even when I was living in the Bowery, actually in consciousness I was living in Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is ultimately that place where Krishna is at the center. So therefore, we have to always live with the Krishna in the center, with this very consciousness of Krishna. Krishna is with us, he's very, very close, he's within our hearts. So the advanced devotees are perceiving Krishna within their heart, Krishna communicating with them all the time, they're living with Krishna. One time a reporter said to Prabhupada, how do you choose the leaders in your movement? How do you choose who should be a leader in your movement? Srila Prabhupada said to the reporter, Krishna tells me. So this reporter looked, and then one devotee tried to clarify. He said to the reporter, no, no, what the Swami means is that in the scriptures, the qualities are explained, and in this way, then we decide. And Prabhupada looked at the disciple and said, what do you mean? No, Krishna tells me. Krishna tells me directly. Krishna tells me, do like this, do like this, do like this, because Krishna is in your heart. And from Krishna comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So therefore it said, jitātmanā prashantasya paramātmā samāhita. That when one has learned to conquer the mind, then the paramātmā is already reached. So the confidential devotees of Krishna, they are in contact with paramātmā. Of course, we may not be on that level where we can perceive Krishna guiding us at every moment, but we should try to hear Krishna. Krishna is living with us, guiding us back to Godhead. We should try to understand what is Krishna telling me at every moment. Yesterday we were on the walk and someone said to me, how do I know what Krishna wants me to learn from any situation? How can I hear what Krishna's message for me is? And the first thing I said to the person was, do you want to hear Krishna's message? Do you want to know really what Krishna wants you to learn? Because if that desire isn't there, then there's no question of hearing Krishna. First, the desire. What do you want to hear? Like there were two people that were walking in Times Square. So as they were walking Times Square, you can imagine it's such a, you know, busy, noisy, chaotic place. And as they were walking, one of them stopped and he said, stop. And he said, can you hear that? It's like just so many noises, cars, you know, advertisements, so many things. He said, no, no, can you hear that? So the other person said, what? And then he just went behind the dustbin and there was a cat that was injured. And it was just very quietly just crying out for help, but very quietly. So they looked at this cat. Anyway, he helped him, whatever. And then the other person said to him, how did you manage to hear that? The person said, we hear what we want to hear. It doesn't matter how loud or how quiet it is. So the person said, I don't understand. And then the other person said, I'll show you. And then in the middle of Times Square, what did he do? He dropped a few pennies of coins. And a few pennies of coins dropped and made a slight tingling sound. And immediately 20 people came. Because you hear what you want to hear. You hear what you're attracted to. So therefore, I said to this devotee that first you must desire to hear Krishna's message. And then through the Shastra, through the Vaishnavas, through our own intuition, Krishna will guide us to understand what we're meant to learn from each situation. So we must learn to live with Krishna at every moment. That is called Vrindavan consciousness. So in this way, the Pandavas glorified the Yadavas and they said the Yadavas got more mercy because they lived with Krishna. They grew up with Krishna. They had that family relationship with Krishna. The Pandavas said, actually Krishna's relationship with us is very formal. Because why does Krishna come to this world? Yada yada hidharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Krishna comes to establish dharma. So the Pandavas said, Krishna established a relationship with us because Krishna had a purpose in this world to establish dharma. And we were the kings. So therefore, Krishna had a formal relationship with us to get a job done. But the Yadavas, they were family. So it went beyond the official relationship. So the Yadavas are higher. So then Narayamuni went to meet the Yadavas. And then as he went to the Yadavas said, no, it's Mars. Narayamuni is thinking, oh my God, when is this journey going to end? The Yadavas said, no, we were not the ones who got the most mercy, but we can tell you someone who is. There is one amongst us. There is one of the Yadavas who's special. This person amongst us was Krishna's constant companion, Krishna's greatest friend. This devotee got so much mercy from Krishna that, you know what? He even looks like Krishna. Krishna had so much trust in this devotee that Krishna, when he was in a dilemma about what to do, he would go to this devotee. When Krishna was leaving the world, then he gave knowledge to this devotee last, before Krishna left this world. So this devotee is a very trusted devotee of Krishna. He's Krishna's constant companion, and he even looks like Krishna. Who is that?
Uddhava.
Yes. So Narad Muni, if you want to know who got more mercy from Krishna, then go and find Uddhava. Because Uddhava got more mercy because his special quality was that he was trusted by Krishna. You see, at our stage in our spiritual life, we're trying to develop trust in Krishna, isn't it? We're trying to develop our faith in Krishna. We're trying to develop our dependence upon Krishna. When one becomes more and more advanced, then it's not a question of what is my faith in Krishna, what is my dependence upon Krishna, what is my belief and conviction that Krishna is there. No, that's already a bygone conclusion. For a higher level devotee, what they're thinking is, how am I conducting myself in such a way that Krishna will have trust and faith and favor towards me? So Uddhava was that person who was so much trusted by Krishna. Here in this picture you see, this is the scene just before Krishna is about to leave the world. And here you have Uddhava and Maitreya Rishi. And both of them have approached Krishna. And Krishna said to Uddhava that in my life I spent time in Vrindavan. I spent time in Mathura. I spent time in Dwarka. I even went to Kurukshetra, but one place I didn't go was Badrikashram. And in Badrikashram, there's many, many sages there. And those sages, they were longing to meet me throughout my life, but I was never able to meet them. Therefore, now I'm going to impart knowledge unto you. And then I'm going to leave the world. And this knowledge that I impart unto you, I want you to then go forth and give that to the sages. And then this knowledge that I've given to you will help many, many generations to come. And that conversation became known as the Uddhava Gita. So Uddhava was very, very trusted by Krishna because he never tried to cheat Krishna. You see, in our lives, still we're somewhat trying to cheat Krishna, if we're honest. We may present ourselves as devotees of Krishna, as giving everything to Krishna. Yes, Krishna, for you, anything. But still, within ourselves, we have our own agenda. But Krishna is more clever. He knows what our heart is. Just like one man, he went to the top of the mountain and he shouted out, God, for you, how long is millions of years? So then a voice came from the sky, God. God said, for me, a million years is just like one moment. So the man shouted away, God, for you, how much is £1,000,000? So God said, for me, £1,000,000 is just like a penny. So the man shouted out, God, can you give me a penny? God said, yeah, just give me a moment.
The fact of the matter is, you can't cheat God. He's more clever. Prabhupada writes in 1.4, Krishna is more clever than any living entity.
And he knows what's in your heart.
So Uddhava was never trying to cheat Krishna. He was fully there, fully ready to execute Krishna's will. And because he was trusted by Krishna, then he received so much mercy from Krishna. So then Narad Muni went to Uddhava and he said, I think you got the most mercy from Krishna. I can't imagine anyone got more mercy than you. Uddhava said, that's what I thought. Uddhava said, I thought I got so much mercy from Krishna. I thought I was so favored by Krishna. In my life, I counted so many blessings that I got from Krishna. But one day, something happened. One day, what happened is that Krishna sent me on a mission. Because Krishna trusted me. So Krishna sent me on a mission. He sent me on a mission to a place called Vrindavan. Krishna had grown up in Vrindavan. But when he was 11, 12 years old, and Krishna left Vrindavan. He said, I'm going to Mathura, I'm going to kill Kamsa, I'm going to take care of some business, but don't worry, my dear Brajavasis, don't worry, I'll be back soon. And after Krishna left, he never did come back. So Uddhava said, Krishna sent me on a mission to Vrindavan. And Krishna told me, I want you to deliver a message to the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan that tell them I'll be back very, very soon. So Uddhava said, I set off on this journey to Vrindavan to deliver this message to the Brajavasis and the gopis. And Uddhava said, when I reached Vrindavan, then I realized that Krishna had sent me here actually for another reason. The external reason that Krishna had sent me to Vrindavan was that Krishna wanted me to give this message to the gopis. So I gave the message to the gopis. I met the gopis and I told them, my dear gopis, I've come with a message from Krishna. And Krishna is telling you that don't worry, although he's not here, if you meditate upon him within your heart, then it will be that Krishna is right here with you. So Krishna is saying, don't worry, just meditate on him and everything will be okay, even though he's not here. And the gopis looked at Uddhava and said, are you mad? The problem is not that we can't think of Krishna. The problem is that we can't get him out of our minds. Uddhava said, I looked at the gopis and the intensity of their love. The gopis said, Krishna's absence makes it that we can't even live. Because of Krishna's absence, we can't even live. But then the gopis said, because of Krishna's memories, we can't even die. Because we're living by the rope of hope that one day Krishna will come back. So Uddhava said, when I began observing the intensity of the gopis' love for Krishna, then I realized that the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy were indeed the gopis of Vrindavan. And that's where Narad Muni's journey ended. Because he realized that the gopis had got the most mercy from Krishna. The gopis were the most confidential associates of Krishna. Because they never held anything back. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam saranam braja. So they had given up everything. Uddhava said their devotion is so great. Their devotion is so spotless. Their devotion is so incredibly intense that Uddhava prayed. Asoham charanare ujasam maham syam vrindavane kimapikul malato sadinam. Uddhava said, I just want to become a creeper in Vrindavan. I want to become a creeper. Vrindavane kimapi gulma lado sadhinam. I just want to become a creeper in Vrindavan so that the gopis will step on me and I'll gain the favor of the dust of their lotus feet. So if you go today to Vrindavan, then you can go to a place called Kusum Sarova, and there it's said that Uddhava is residing as a Kripa, waiting to get the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis. So Uddhava said their devotion is something very, very special. So special that Krishna even says to the gopis, Napadayeham Niravati Sangrijam Sasadu Krityam Vigudari Shabhidhava. Krishna says, your devotion is so great that I am not able to repay you even in 1,000 lifetimes of Brahma. I have nothing. People say I have everything. Everything is under my control. But practically, I have nothing I can give you that will reciprocate with your love. Because the purity of that love, that you never held anything back, that kind of love is what captures Krishna to the greatest degree. So these are obviously very, very high devotees, high aspirations. And this weekend we're talking about progress, not perfection. So here on this journey that Narad Muni goes through, we see devotees who are all perfect and who are all exhibiting different levels of perfection. And sometimes we look at these examples and they seem very, very far, very, very high, very, very lofty. And we think, how will I ever get there? But the theme for this weekend is progress, not perfection. So the point is that in our spiritual life, if we're constantly progressing, if we're constantly stepping forward, if we're constantly improving and enhancing the quantity and quality of our devotional life, then perfection is just a matter of time. Sometimes when we focus too much on perfection, we can become discouraged that we're so far away. And therefore, spiritual life is about knowing what perfection is, knowing what our cherished goal is, our aspiration is, but then doing everything we can do within our control to every day progress one more step towards Krishna. And in this way, as long as we're continuously progressing and moving forward and dedicating to Krishna, then perfection will gradually come about. So we discussed over the last few days.
What is the time?
8:48. Just because we have to finish a little bit early, so I'm just. Over the last few days, we discussed about Brihat Bhagavatamrita. We went through all these great devotees. All these great devotees taught us different secrets of mercy, different ways in which we can gain the favor and blessings of Krishna. So please meditate upon some of these points, try to take the practical lessons that are there, and when we reach the much higher level devotees who are showing a level of devotion which is incredibly pure, even though it may seem out of our grasp, take it as an inspiration and ask yourself, what can I do to progress towards that kind of devotion? And in this way, as long as we're continuously moving forward, then progress to perfection will become the theme of our life, and gradually over time we'll see that a big internal change takes place. They say, in the corporate world, they say, you overestimate what you can do in 1 year, but you underestimate what you can do in 10 years. Because we're so much in the mode of passion, we're trying to get things done immediately, and in that mad rush to get things done immediately, we overestimate our capacity. But when we're in the mode of goodness, we see over a long period of time, if we're gradually, steadily, sustainably progressing, then over a period of time, you can have a great change in your life. So please think about that. We've had this retreat. Retreats are all about inspiration, about getting some extra enthusiasm to move forward in our spiritual journey. But all of that enthusiasm and inspiration has to translate when we go home into something tangible where we're making an extra commitment, an extra endeavor, an extra effort to move forward in our devotion to Krishna. And therefore we picked Brihat Bhagavatamrita to learn what that journey is and to learn the secrets of mercy.
and to in this way pray that we can also get the mercy of Krishna and make our lives successful. Hare Krishna. So we're finishing a little bit early today because we have to just pack things up. I think we have 10 minutes. Okay. So we have 10 minutes. If there's any questions, clarification, comments, or anything you'd like to ask, on the behalf of Gautama for any of these points. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
So when did it actually happen? Because we know this is all after Krishnaji left, and then what actually, how many years ago did this happen?
You mean Narad Muni's journey?
Yeah.
Okay. So sometimes people also ask, is this journey of Narad Muni, is it a real story or is it just something made up? Or so we don't find anywhere that it's a made-up story, it's a real story. It actually happened that Narad Muni went and met all of these personalities. Now you're asking, when did it happen? And that's a question that we don't know the answer to, because that's not documented. When it happened. Of course, whenever we're looking at when something happened in terms of scripture, it's a very complex question. Because according to the Vedic timeline, time goes in cycles. Some people think time is linear, it begins and it ends. But in Vedic tradition, time goes in cycles. So, you know, it's a very, very complex understanding to know like when things happen. So there's no dating given to this story, when it happened. It may have happened in this day of Brahma, or previous day of Brahma. We're not sure because it's not stated. But we can understand at some point in cosmic history, Narad Muni did go on this journey.
Yeah. And also, how long did it take?
That also is not mentioned. We have no idea of how long it took.
And with respect to Arjuna, so I guess this is, she was asking, so it's because we've mentioned Yadavas and we've mentioned Pandavas. So Pandavas is one of the Arjuna. And she said, Balram, why is he not mentioned? So it's because he's one of the Yadavas, is that right?
Yes. And what we must understand from this journey is that there are many more great devotees who are in our Vedic tradition, who are not necessarily mentioned here.
But these ones are like really big ones.
These are really big ones, yeah. There are also other big ones.
So are they not because they're part of that set, like Balaram?
Yeah. So that Balaram comes under that, Krishna's family, so that we know.
And Radharani is one of the gopis.
Radharani is in the gopis like that. So yeah, these things are mentioned. But for example, we have many, like for example in the Bhagavatam it's explained that there are 12 Mahajans. Svayambhur, Narada, Shambhur, Kumara, Kapilo, Manur, Pradato, Janako, Bhishmo, Balir, Vaishikir, Vayam. Bhishma was a great personality, not mentioned here. Kapila, great personality, Kumaras. All these, Yamaraj, great devotee, Dharmaraj, he is. He's not mentioned here, so it doesn't mean this is an exhaustive list of all the greatest devotees. But what it means is that this is a story to tell us. These were the great qualities of these devotees. And there are unlimited Vaishnavas. And what to speak of simply the Vaishnavas from Shastra, we can even learn so many secrets of mercy from all the Vaishnavas in the room. So this is an unlimited topic to glorify the Vaishnavas. But this is just one story that's narrated to tell us, here are some key devotees who you can learn something from.
So on the final point about not holding back, so can you share some personal realization, your own personal realization on what can you do not to hold back?
Join the ashram. No, that's not the point. Because even the gopis didn't renounce everything. So sometimes people think no holding back is to join the ashram. No holding back means no part of your life is disconnected from Krishna. One French philosopher, he says, self-realization is not to learn more things. Self-realization is to unlearn and get rid of all of the things and all of the garbage that's already within you. So what it means is that we have our life, and gradually what we have to do is look at our life and look at all of the parts which have no relation to Krishna, no relation to our spiritual development, no relation to us finding eternal spiritual happiness. And then all of those parts of our life, what we then have to gradually start doing is connecting them to Krishna. And then what happens over time, if you learn to connect every single part of your life to Krishna, then you end up with a very Krishna-conscious life. But what happens is we hold back. We hold back some time for myself. We hold back some faith in myself. We hold back some happiness for myself. So, one for Krishna, one for me. Two for Krishna, one for me. Some for Krishna, little bit for me. So we hold something back still. So gradually over time, what we have to learn to do is connect every part to Krishna. Every part of your life to Krishna. And then what happens is that it actually becomes a very Krishna conscious life. So I think that's probably the most practical thing I can say for anyone who's trying to aspire to have this kind of Krishna conscious life, is just try to start connecting everything. Because Krishna consciousness is so amazing that everything can be connected to Krishna. It just requires some thought and some dedication.
So the gopis are at the top. My question is, what about Radha? Can you clarify that? Because she is always the top. So is he the top of the top?
Top of the pops. Yes, the Bhagavatam says, Anaya Radhito Nunam, that no one was able to worship Krishna greater than Radharani. Sukadeva Goswami, when he was narrating Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't even mention Radharani's name. Because he knew that if he would mention Radharani's name, he would go into a trance, just thinking about her devotion. And there was no time for trance because Pariksha only had 7 days left to live. So therefore he did mention Radharani, but he only mentioned her in an indirect way. Anaya Aradhito Nunam. There was no one who did Aradhan, worship of Krishna, greater than Radharani. So yes, Radharani is the foremost, very, very special. He said one time the gopis came together and they were asking each other, what did you dream about Krishna last night? So one gopi said, I dreamt this. Another gopi said, I dreamt this. Another gopi said, I dreamt this. And Radharani was quiet. And then they came to Radharani and they said, you're very quiet. What did you dream about Krishna last night? And Radharani looked at all the gopis and said, dream about Krishna? Dream about Krishna? All night I was thinking about Krishna. I couldn't even get him out of my mind. I couldn't even go to sleep. Where is the question of dreaming about Krishna? So Radharani's devotion is something extremely high. The gopi's devotion is something very, very high. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada never talked so much about the intricacies of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes and their exchanges of love. Gopi Bhava. Prabhupada didn't go so much into that. But what we should understand is that the real Gopi Bhava is that the gopis were willing to sacrifice anything for Krishna. And Radharani was like that. She was willing to sacrifice anything for Krishna. So yes, Radharani is the highest. And the real Gopi Bhava is how much sacrifice am I making for Krishna? That's the real question we need to ask ourselves. But yes, Radharani is definitely the highest. Yes,
so this is all, these personalities have got great qualities and they were doing a lot of devotional service. But we also hear about causelessness. Can you elaborate?
so causeless mercy is there. One time the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, we came from such bad backgrounds, how were we able to begin Krishna consciousness? What did we do to get this opportunity? Prabhupada said, you didn't do anything, I was your good fortune. That is causeless mercy. That causeless mercy is what helps us to begin our spiritual life. Without the mercy, the causeless mercy of Krishna coming through the medium of a devotee, no one can begin their spiritual life. So yes, causeless mercy is always there. Causeless mercy is there in the beginning of spiritual life. And as we go on in spiritual life, causeless mercy comes. But you'll see through the own terminology of causeless mercy that causeless means you can't do anything to get it. Therefore, causeless mercy is there, but don't depend upon causeless mercy because it's causeless. So therefore, we should try to see what we can do to attract mercy. And therefore, endeavor and mercy go together. So therefore, when we're discussing the Shastra, when we're discussing this journey of Narad Muni, then we're questioning what endeavor can I make to attract mercy. And then we should understand that, yes, on top of that, Krishna will always top it up with some causeless mercy. But we cannot predict when, how, in what form that causeless mercy will come. And therefore, from our side, the main thing is that we just need to do what we can to attract the mercy. So we'll finish there, I think. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, and I hope you got something out of it. Hare Krishna. Thank you.